Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research to new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Zach Gaddy, Director, Defense Finance and Accounting Service. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us on our conversation also from IBM is Chuck Pro. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
Well, Zach, I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with DFAS, but perhaps we could begin by giving us an overview and the mission and the vision of the agency.
Well, DFAS was formed in 1991 when they wrote a what they call a program budget decision that created DFAS. It originally was owned by the services themselves and defense agencies. So we are a relatively young organization, only having been in existence since 1991. Our purpose and why we were formed was to consolidate finance and accounting things that the services and military departments and defense agencies perform for themselves, put it into a working capital fund environment, and have a single service provider, almost like a shared service provider. So we've been doing that for a while now. Our job really is to support the men and women who wear the uniform, who defend this country. We pay people, we pay vendors, and we provide accounting service to all DOD appropriations. We have about 16,000 people, roughly. We are at 26 locations where we have what I'll call main sites or field sites. But then we're also at other locations. We're at a total of 90 locations DOD-wide. And we may have a presence of one, or we could have a presence of four or five at some of those smaller sites. But we're a lot more places than our field sites, but the bottom line is, compared to what we started with in 1991, where there were over 330 sites, we're still much smaller than that. Our job, as I said, is to support the men and women who wear the uniform. We are trying in our organization to be what we call best value. And I know best value is kind of a generic term to a lot of people. And I like to think of best value as the intersection of cost and quality. You know, that's where we want to meet customer needs and at the same time do it at the most favorable price we can. And that's where we do benchmarking and things of that nature to attempt to make sure that what we provide to people not only meets their needs, but is done at an acceptable price.
You talked about your team of 16,000 people with finance and accounting in the title of your organization. I got a sense of what they might be, but perhaps you could give us a sense of the range of skills of those folks.
Well, of that 16,000 or so, we have about 1,000 or so military members. We also have predominantly civilian, some foreign nationals over in Germany and Japan. We have a wide range of skills out there. We have computer programmers. We have system analysts. We have accounting technicians, pay clerks, accountants, financial specialties, and we range in grade from GS2 up, obviously, through the senior executive service, and O1 through the general officer ranks, as well as E1 through E9. The bottom line is we have a wide range of skills out there. The predominancy, though, of our workforce are what we call in the 500 series. That's the financial management series, whether it's 501 financial specialist or 510 accountant or 525 accounting technician.
Zach, as director for DFAS, what is your role and responsibility?
Well, my role, I see it, is trying to make sure that through my leadership team, as well as DOD senior leadership, we have a clear vision and strategy for this agency. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but our goal, or my goal as a director, is to take that strategy and vision as an agency, go out to the workforce. I've been doing that for the last 6 months now. I've visited 14 of our locations so far, trying to ensure that our workforce is plugged into what we're trying to do as an agency and what our customers expect of us, and get that vision and goals and objectives out there in ways they can understand. So my job is to make sure that we deliver on the mission and vision and values of this agency.
What were your prior roles before becoming director for DFAS?
Well, immediately before becoming director of DFAS, I was the client executive for DFAS for all Air Force organizations, some defense agencies. And in that regard, I represented DFAS to those customers. It didn't matter what the service or the product was. I also was directly responsible for delivering accounting services to the Air Force and those defense agencies. Prior to that, I was in Arlington. I was a deputy for business funds and accounting. And so there I primarily worked on accounting policy kind of things as well as system kind of things for all of DOD, not just for the Air Force. Prior to that, I was working at Denver as the director of departmental accounting, so I did all the financial statements and reporting for the Air Force, as well as some defense agencies. And prior to that, if I go back far enough, I was an auditor, I was a budgeteer, I was a cost analyst, I was active duty military in the Navy, so I've had a lot of jobs along the way, and over a 28-year career, I guess that's not to be to be expected.
How have these prior roles prepared you for your current role as director for DFAS?
Well, I'd say the benefit of being around as long as I have is I've seen a lot of things. One of the best things, I think, that got me ready for the job I'm in today was starting off as an auditor, an internal auditor for Air Force Audit many years ago, because I got to come into organizations and not be a part of an individual organization, but rather I looked at across the whole spectrum of what a base or a command did. And that's where you got to see how the pieces fit together, whether it was logistics, engineering, contracting, or in the finance and accounting arena. From that, I then wanted to go from the audit world into the management world. I wanted to actually do things instead of review things. So I then went in a career broadening assignment in the Air Force, where I was in cost, budget, and audit. And from that, then I went to the job in Denver, where I became the director of departmental accounting. And I got more into the management role as opposed to the reviewing role. So these jobs, I think, all help me understand how financial management works within this department, how crucial it is that we do a good job, and also at the same time, how much management depends on us to do that job for them in the most cost-effective way. One of the real benefits, I think, also of being an auditor was I was used to the idea of questioning why we did things. Was it efficient? Was it effective? Did it meet customer needs? And that served me well as in the current jobs I've had, because as a client executive, I mean, one of the things you're always after is, what do you want? Can we deliver it? How should we deliver it? How can we improve what we're doing for you? And as a director of DFAS, now I just get to do that for all of DOD instead of a subset of the customer base.
Tell us about the transition from your previous job to this job in terms of being, you know, now the director of the world's largest finance and accounting organization. What that was like, and did your management style or approach change?
Well, in some ways it changed, certainly. I guess the biggest thing that I would say I would point to is the transition was, up until now, I'd always worried about a segment of the population, whether it was the Air Force, some defense agencies, whether it was accounting versus all of the services DFAS provides. When you walk into the role of director of DFAS, you're the person on the hook for everything. You know, the old expression, the buck stops here, I think, is really applicable to the position that I'm in. You're at the center point of a lot of typical issues that might come your way, as well as trying to do the day-to-day business, as well as trying to move the organization forward. And I like to tell people sometimes, DFAS to me is synonymous with like the elevator. You don't hear a lot sometimes when the elevator is working well, but when the elevator doesn't work, doesn't stop on the floor you chose, then you'll hear about it. So sometimes I think you can get the negativity coming your way, and you'll tend to view the organization through that prism instead of seeing the whole of what you're doing and how important it is that you're doing many things well. Yes, you do have legitimate issues from people who have legitimate complaints, and you need to deal with those. But at the same time, a majority of things you're doing well. The workforce is providing the services that are asked for, and so you can't lose sight of that.
When you described your team, you talked about not only civilian employees at all ranges, but also military and even foreign national. What are the challenges of managing a team that cuts across all those different types of employees?
Well, the challenge right now is we used to have a much larger military presence, and it's been ratcheted down over time, and over the next few years we'll even become smaller. So one of the challenges that presents is whenever I visit our sites and I talk to military, they kind of question, well, what's going on? What's my future in DFAS? And the reality is it's not going to be nearly as significant as it used to be. Military would rotate in and out fairly quickly compared to civilians. So I always saw them as a source of, you know, currency. You know, what's going on in the mission areas? What do people care about? You know, what do we as an organization need to pay attention to? So we're going to lose touch to some extent with that kind of capability. On the other hand, the military has a big demand for military presence in other stress career fields, so it's the right thing to do. So we're certainly supporting that. But it does create somewhat of a challenge for us as an organization to say, come to DFAST, do a great job, we appreciate you, and at the same time, there's just going to be less and less of you. So that is somewhat of a challenge. On the foreign national or local national side, certainly we have the same kind of issues, because in Germany as well as Japan, where we're located, we do have a sizable number of people, but that number has gotten smaller over time because we just don't have as large a military presence in those countries as we used to. And the DFAST presence has actually come down even faster because we've done some things to get more efficient, do more operations from CONUS as opposed to overseas. And end result is we just don't have the same size of a workforce over there we used to have.
Yeah, it's interesting. You've really described a large global organization. What are the DFAST strategic targets and how are they working towards them? We'll ask DFAST Director Zach Gaddy to take us through this when the Business of Government Hour continues.